There's a spiritual awakening taking place behind the Iron Curtain in countries like East Germany. As one observer puts it, the government and some of the people there are flirting with God. This is a story of the few hundred Jews who are left there. Some of them hunger for a spiritual life. Others think it's too late after a lifetime away from God. They're not interested in Judaism as a religion. They're looking for a past, a kind of cultural identity. This is also the story of a rabbi from Champaign, Illinois, a Holocaust survivor who went to East Germany to help. AM 580's Neil Tickner prepared this story.
There's an old Jewish tale once told in Eastern Europe of a small, isolated village. There was only one clockmaker, but many clocks. One day, the clockmaker died, and the clocks in town began to get dirty and rusty. Most in the village threw away their clocks, for what good is one if it won't run? But one stubborn man refused to give up his. He cleaned it, kept it in a safe place. But one day, even it stopped running. Years later, a new clockmaker came to town. But how little he could do, for there was only the one clock left. All the others were gone. For them, it was too late.
The same is true with the Jewish community in Berlin. As long as there are a few people who take care of Judaism, who practice it, pray, study on occasion, when a rabbi comes to the community, he can help them.
In the fall of 1987, Rabbi Isaac Newman came to East Germany to help. He says he was the first full-time rabbi to serve there in at least 22 years. This is a story of what remains of Jewish life in East Germany. Some think it is dying. There are only about 360 affiliated Jews in the entire country, most in their 60s and 70s. There are possibly 1,000 others, many of them younger, but they don't identify themselves as Jews. Still, there are those who wish to revive religion, to make it a vital part of their lives. But it's a long journey for one who has lived so far from God for so long. And there are those who wonder whether they can find him at all in a communist country like East Germany. The clockmaker has come to the village, but what is there to sustain him? Many years ago, the righteous Rabbi Nachman of Bratslav used to say, "The whole world is but a narrow bridge, and the main thing is not to be afraid at all." Over and over again, each day he was in East Germany, Rabbi Newman used to listen to these words in this song. In the end, he only stayed about 9 months. He left frustrated and dismayed, with little hope for the future of the Jews of East Germany. In his words, they are an extinct species.
Their biggest problem is that they have been cut off from the rest of the Jewish world for a long time. They are a branch that has withered.
Rabbi Newman and the leaders of the Jewish community parted in anger, some unhappy with the changes he tried to introduce, and he with the resistance he encountered. One of the leaders of the official Jewish community, Dr. Irena Runge, who was born in the United States but has lived in East Germany now for many years, says they are not cut off. Runge says the tools are there if one wants to live a Jewish life in East Germany.
We always had rabbis whenever we needed them, which means we always had a rabbi for the high holidays. We always had a rabbi for one of two Seder evenings. We always had a rabbi for Hanukkah. And we always had rabbinical help from West Berlin, Hungary, United States, or Canada. So whenever there was need, we had one. We didn't have one, you know, permanently.
While the East German Jews did have rabbis and some of the trappings of Judaism, Rabbi Newman says there's far more that's missing.
They have had no teachers, no books, no periodicals from the rest of the Jewish world. And even though some periodicals are regularly sent there, these periodicals don't reach anyone. The librarian keeps them hidden. There's no justification for that, nor is it forbidden. There was a great deal of interest on the part of the people, but not on the part of the current leadership, who are the providers. And if the provider doesn't provide, the people have no access to it.
The reason for this, he says, goes back to a belief held by the Jewish community leaders and predicted in Marxist theory itself, that all religions, including Judaism, would wither and die in a socialist country like East Germany.
Well, the result has been that a whole generation of young people have grown up who are intelligent, sophisticated, well-educated, and know everything about every question except when it comes to Judaism. And now some of these people are beginning to say, you have denied us our heritage. We want to know who we are. We're not religious. We don't even know what religion is. But tell us. And why did you hide this from us? Everybody else is something. We are Jews. We want to be so openly.
In old times, in other lands, before almost anyone left could remember, there was another way. The Sabbath lived. The day itself, it arrived like a queen as the Friday sun slipped behind the trees. Call her the Sabbath Queen, Shabbos Hamalka. It is Sabbath in the synagogue in East Berlin. And this day, one man will embrace the Queen. At age 37, for the first time, he stands before the sacred biblical scroll of the Jewish people, the Torah, and makes traditional blessings. It is for him a way of proclaiming his Jewishness, his way of saying, "This is my heritage." Only days before, he was circumcised to seal in the flesh his bond with the Jewish people. The path to this moment has been long, and for many years hidden. Only recently has he come to believe his feelings are not subversive. He is not alone. Rabbi Newman tells of one woman's long search for her roots. As a child, her father was an influential party member. The family did not live as Jews, did not talk of such things. The girl went to school, like everyone else, until one day.
A foreign journalist came to that particular school, and the principal of the school called a student to her office and introduced her to this foreign journalist. And the first question that he asked her was, "Tell me, how is the life of Jews in the German Democratic Republic?" At which point the student said, "Why ask me?" She wasn't even aware that she was Jewish.
The young woman was Ava Greenstein. She grew up to be an anthropologist, a professor at Humboldt University in East Berlin. She met Rabbi Newman when he came there, married him, and has now come back with him to live in the United States. Her experiences growing up in East Germany and those of her family were shaped by the Nazi Holocaust. Dr. Greenstein says her parents and the rest of the older generation of Jews there were survivors.
die Mehrheit der Deutschen waren mit dem Faschismus.
The majority of the Germans supported the fascists. So we grew up with our parents, the older generation, making an effort to see that the children should become assimilated, that they should be German rather than Jewish, German
anti-fascists.
Even so, Dr. Greenstein did pick up songs, values, small bits of her Jewish heritage, though she never knew they were Jewish.
Ich kann sagen, ich bin sehr tief verbunden aufgewachsen mit jüdischen
I can say that I grew up deeply imbued with Jewish values concerning a just world, a world with Jewish and humanistic classical values. But that, I would say, I only discovered later. And then at some point came the question, who are we? Where is our identity? Why is it different? We simply have different stories, different biographies.
In her childhood, the family phonograph used to sing out with this Yiddish song, Aheim, Aheim, homeward, homeward. Dr. Greenstein's mother used to listen. After the war, she'd come to Germany from Romania. But the little girl didn't think of it as Yiddish or Jewish. She just thought it was badly spoken German. How could she have known? Her parents never talked of such things.
Der Gedanke war, dass die Religion nicht überleben wird.
The official thinking was that religion wouldn't survive. But after 30 years, it has become apparent that one can't suppress such things. They exist, and they must find expression. This is important not only for the Jewish religion, but for every religion.
And indeed, Dr. Greenstein herself gradually asked why such feelings should die. Why not admit to them? She began to see with new eyes, began to feel most comfortable around other Jews.
Es war ein Gefühl von
It was a feeling of being at home, not always having to explain everything. So there was, how can I say it? I always had this feeling that I had to explain myself to other people. But with other Jews, I didn't have to do that.
In some ways, for Dr. Greenstein, this is a cultural search, a search for a community where she can feel at home. But she says it is also a spiritual search, and she is studying with the rabbi, trying to discover these things. Indeed, while he was in Germany, he tried to help others make the same search.
May I add my opinion to this, that I believe that there is a genuine hunger of the spirit there. And it is not just a matter of ethnicity and thirst for one's cultural identity, that too. But there is a spiritual hunger there. I know this from letters that I received from people and from letters that I still get here.
Berlin, September 28th, 1987. Dear Rabbi Newman, I wanted so much to tell you after your talk this evening in the hall of the Jewish Community Center that for the first time since I came to this country 40 years ago, I felt at home. You are a true rabbi, the kind to whom people come from miles and miles away to hear a few words of wisdom and loving kindness. I have never known such a rabbi, never felt at home with one, and never felt at home in Germany because of its frightful history. I was born in New York. As a little girl, I went to a sad, broken-down wooden temple in the Bronx every Saturday. But I didn't become religious. I became a communist. And for a while, was terribly torn between God, whom I couldn't really believe in, and atheism, which didn't satisfy me either. To me, being Jewish is not a religion. Jews are a people to whom I belong, and with pride. We must stick together. And with you, in this part of Germany, we will at last have a chance to begin.
Rabbi Newman got this letter shortly after he arrived in East Germany. And in the 9 months he was there, he says he tried to awaken unsettled spirits.
East Berlin, May 24th, 1988. Dear Rabbi Newman, at the end of your lecture at the Stephanus Institute during the Martin Buber Conference, I asked you for one more positive word. For me, your answer to that question is the most positive of all. God is there where man lets him in. We were quiet then while we considered it.
The religious voice is still and small. Many do not hear it. Dr. Irena Runge, an official of the Jewish community, is also a sociologist, a former colleague of Dr. Greenstein at the university in East Berlin. She is not religious herself, and she says few of the younger Jews are. So it is Jewish cultural life that she expects will survive.
I mean, this is open, it's free to practice religion. The thing is only, you know, when people are not religious, it doesn't really mean that much to them. You know, I mean, we have a synagogue, we have a cantor, we have a kosher butcher, we get matzot, we get the wine, we get everything you need to even be Orthodox. But, you know, the people are not like that anymore. Maybe for historical reasons, when you live in this part of the world, in Germany, we should really be the ones to say there are Jews living here in a way to remember what it was like.
That almost sounds like nostalgia, like a museum as opposed to something that's...
No, why a museum? We're having... It's not a museum. What's a museum about that? I go there. They're Jewish people. We have the same... view on a lot of things. We have, in a way, the same biography, which gives us the feeling that we know each other. You know, we're trying to educate ourselves, or to be educated. We're trying also to keep up with what's going on in the Jewish world. I mean, we're part of the Jewish world.
This traditional Yiddish song is from an album produced by the East German state-run recording service. Its style, though, is not so traditional. It's a classical reworking of what the album calls Gems of Jewish Folklore. It is Sabbath in the synagogue in East Berlin. One visitor describes it this way. It is a small chapel. Most there are older. For hours the prayers continue, all in Hebrew, droning on in a language few can pronounce and almost no one understands. Occasionally a few voices join the cantor in singing. Rabbi Newman says a service like this means little to the young Jews in the country and others who know little of the tradition. So when he came, Newman tried to shorten the prayer service and do more of it in German. He tried to have more discussions, to challenge the people, and to have them answer back. But he found resistance. University of Illinois political scientist Richard Merritt, who studies East Germany, says many of the older people don't want change.
A large part of the Jewish population in East Germany seems perfectly willing to continue the status quo, which means ultimately the virtual end of the Jewish community. Only a few of the younger people have been trying to set up something new.
But Rabbi Newman says most of the people did go along with change. He sees the resistance as coming mainly from the official leadership.
In a way, it was understandable. I tried to do things perhaps a little too fast. I did not have all the time in the world. My original idea was to spend a year there, or maybe at the utmost two. I think that it will be somewhat easier for the new man to do some of the things and get away with it. Provided he is his own man.
Newman says when he first came, the president of the Jewish community told him not to preach a sermon. Newman did not. But after a few weeks, Newman says the people complained, so he did preach, and the leaders were angry. But Dr. Runge, one of the leaders, says Rabbi Newman ran into trouble because he simply tried to change things too quickly.
You know, he's an impatient person, so what was good about that was that he pushed a few things through, which normally we would have taken more time, you know. We're in Europe, we're in Prussia, don't forget that. Obviously, he forgot that he was going to Germany and into the heart of Prussia. And that was one thing. But on the other hand, you know, there were a lot of old people who were hurt because they wanted the thing to stay the way it is. Actually, which isn't even true, they would have been willing to be a little bit reformed, but not, you know, if somebody comes and says, listen, people, I don't have any time. We got to change it. Everything we have to do it today. And then people, old people, are not really happy about that. But I think he showed us that there are other ways. His way, our former way, and now we're finding a new way.
Berlin, May 3rd, 1988. Dear Dr. Newman, we deeply feel the need to tell you of our feelings of respect and strong solidarity. With anger and indignation, we've learned the positions of certain Jewish bureaucrats. Unfortunately, you came here hungry for deeds, but from the beginning, you were thought of only as a token. These self-appointed speakers of a Jewish community that doesn't really exist have long since lost every true interest in the situation of the Jews in East Germany. We stand by you.
Rabbi Newman got many letters of support like this from those who were sorry to see him go. And Dr. Greenstein, his wife, adds he has left a lasting impression.
And many people, not only Jews of my generation, but also older members of the Jüdische Gemeinde, the Jewish community, had a great liking and great hopes for Isaac, Rabbi Newman, and for everything associated with the learning process, because he really taught us new things. And that's a step that cannot be reversed, but will continue to develop. That I consider very important.
Berlin, May 3rd, 1988. Dear Rabbi, we, your Hebrew and Judaism students, want you to know that we feel regret hearing the news that you will not stay with us. We will miss you very much. We're like a flock without a shepherd. We need you. What will become of us?
Oifen Pripetschok brennt a Feierur und in Stubis heis.
In old times, in other lands, before almost anyone left could remember, there was another way. Even small children learned to read Hebrew. They'd go to Cheder, the one-room school. Perhaps the child would sit by the heat of the oven to learn from the Rebbe the alphabet and the Bible, the first steps to Torah, Jewish learning. A touch of honey would be placed on the pages to be licked off by the child, so learning would be sweet. And if not, perhaps a licking from the Rebbe's strap. In old times.
Judaism survives on Torah. Torah is the guide. Torah teaches what is right and what is wrong. And when there is no Torah and no teachers, how can Judaism survive? Not there nor anywhere else. To be sure, they have got a lot of Torah manuscripts. They are wrapped in paper and kept in storage.
But those who would seek this path of Torah, of learning, still need to think carefully. 30 years ago, it would have been dangerous, contrary to Marxist teachings and the will of the state. Even today, University of Illinois political scientist Richard Merritt says it can still be risky.
It's still not an overwhelmingly good idea politically to become active in any religious community. you will not be oppressed by being a Catholic or a Protestant or a Jew, but if what you want is to rise high in the governmental sector, it's not a good idea to get affiliated with the Jewish community or any religious community.
Perhaps I should explain to you this way. A young man who serves in the army, and here are the high holidays. So he goes into his commanding officer and says, I would like to go to the synagogue to pray. So he's given the leave. When he comes back, he is interrogated by a whole group of officers. And one of the questions they ask him is, what's your opinion about the state of Israel? So he says, what's your opinion about Bolivia? He was then drummed out of his particular unit, which was a more sensitive unit, and made into a gardener for the army.
As Professor Merritt sees it, the government is willing to tolerate religion, not encourage it. If religions turn out to be inevitable, well, at least the government wants it operating within close range. And as Rabbi Newman puts it, the East Germans have in recent years been giving religions a breathing space.
I think that they are trying to make some peace with religion altogether. They're flirting with God. How far it will go is hard to tell.
Since Rabbi Newman left East Germany, there has been no permanent replacement. But even if a permanent rabbi is found, in 10 years, what will be left?
Ich glaube, dass die jüdische Gemeinde eine Zukunft hat, und ich würde auch sagen, es wird
I believe the Jewish community does have a future. And it would be tragic if they didn't have one. There's a great awareness that Jews were not simply victims. They also made a major contribution to German culture. So I believe that it is important to develop the religion, and I believe that will happen. One just has to have patience.
Whether there will be a Jewish community in 10 years from now, frankly, I'm very doubtful. The numbers have been going down. The demographics are such that I had many more funerals than births. Now, there is a reservoir of young people in their 30s and 40s who are not yet affiliated with the Jewish community. Some of them will join if the community provides something for them that they're interested in. What is available now is of no interest to them whatsoever.
As for Merritt, the political scientist, he is also pessimistic. He looks at the numbers of Jews in East Germany, the German Democratic Republic, and expects little more there in the future than a few Jewish cultural centers.
It's very much in some regards to the American treatment of Indians. We tried for a very long time to eliminate Indians from the United States, and subsequently we created little places where they could show the tourists what it meant to be an Indian. Well, that's what I predict in East Berlin by, say, the end of the century. That's a useful educational activity. Without some kind of public education program in this sense, the children will grow up in the GDR not knowing anything about Jews, not having ever seen them, not knowing anything about Jewish culture, the literature, the plays, and all that it meant to be Jewish.
As Rabbi Newman puts it, I don't want to be present at the last funeral of the last Jew in East Germany, but it may be too late. I'm Neil Tickner.